Gospel of Luke, chapter 21, verses 12 to 19. Jesus said to the crowd, "They will seize and persecute you. They'll hand you over to the synagogues and to prisons. They will have you led before kings and governors because of my name. It will lead to your giving testimony. Remember, you are not to prepare your defense beforehand, for I myself will give you a wisdom in speaking that all your adversaries will be powerless to resist or refute. You'll even be handed over by parents, brothers, relatives, and friends, and they will put some of you to death. You will be hated all because of my name, but not a hair on your head will be destroyed. By your perseverance, you will secure your lives." This gospel is not the one I'd ordinarily choose during the Thanksgiving season. I would want a gospel that was, well, with a more positive setting. However, the challenge posed by the movement from hostility to thankfulness could serve us well as we negotiate from the actual conditions of our world to the spirit of these Thanksgiving days. Nothing could be more useless than a thankfulness that is artificial or merely sentimental. And so for some days, I've been struggling with the question, what really makes me thankful during this time? I'm more than aware of the challenges that beset all of us, an economy which seems to favor only those who are already rich, methods of communication that threaten the privacy of each person, a condition of constant warfare as throughout the world governments disintegrate into tribalism, climate change, attacking our consumer-driven way of life, and more recently, the profound chaos resulting from the attempt to make healthcare affordable and available to everyone. You undoubtedly will add your own concerns to the list. Just how do we move from anger, annoyance, sorrow, even fear, to that spirit of thankfulness that we feel must be at the very core of our responses to the world, and certainly at the heart of our worship? All these things come to mind as we echo the thoughts of our pilgrim ancestors who thank God while enjoying only a momentary respite from the challenges that face them in a new land. In the midst of our need, the gospel would have us search for that faith-guided voice that will be given us. And yet, in spite of everything, I begin to have some hope that a saving word will be given to us. When the Catholic Church enters a new mission field, the first thing it does is to set up communities of worship. Then, not far behind, it brings in opportunities for education of the faithful. And often, this concern is so great that the opportunities for education are not just limited to Catholics, but include anyone in the area that expresses such a need. When I worked in Kenya, a major effort was always given to collecting school fees, and in no time at all, we even had our own school. The Church, worldwide, has made a vast effort to provide education on every level. The difficulty is that the structures of governance of the Church, and in them, there's simply no ongoing process of listening to the voices of this highly educated faithful. This certainly must be taken into account if we'd understand the recent erosion of active Church membership. We have really bright people. We have to listen. List the controversials of the Church, and there's no ordinary way of introducing these concerns into serious dialogue. The recent translations for worship are a good case in point. The people assigned to the task failed to consult those experienced in leading worship and ended up with words that are awkward and estranged from normal usage, and in some case, just strange to the ear that values American English. And yet, a voice is beginning to be heard, and from a surprising place. And for this, I'm forever thankful. I'm able to move from confusion, disappointment, even anger, to a deep sense of hopefulness. After having a pope who was clearly a popular personality and then one of admirable intelligence, we now hear a new voice. Pope Francis speaks with the authority and clarity of one who has directly experienced the voice of the poor. He has enough failures in his own life to appreciate the needs of ordinary people. He has lived among us and walked with the poor and those without hope. I am thankful that a new voice is appearing in our lives. The words of today's gospel may take on added meaning for our time. For I myself shall give you a wisdom in speaking that all your adversaries will be powerless to resist or refute. I look to a time when the Spirit of God will fulfill this gospel promise, and the Spirit of God will give voice to all believers as we begin to address the world's many needs from the perspective of Jesus, our Savior. As a clergyman, this will call me to a new transparency in my gestures of leadership and preaching. I am thankful at this, that I'm called in this time to such a growth, to a community of dialogue. It'd be simply wonderful to be part of a voice of recognition, hope, and blessing as the concerns, hopes, and needs, and the very holiness of the people of God find expression in a new response to the world's needs and a more authentic expression of the call of the gospel. I give thanks for Pope Francis because he speaks from our common experience and from the heart. I give thanks that his voice resonates with the vast experience of faithful Christians everywhere, and even to men and women of goodwill in every culture and condition. This is just the voice we need in order to welcome Christ into these most challenging conditions which we face in our world. And for this surprising word of truth, and hope, I am, in these days, forever thankful. God bless you at this Thanksgiving season.